Hawk Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, footwear, and orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less. Can we get the TV changed in here? Sat is just completely uninterested in the start of the show
because Dylan Barkin.
What is it? The dog Olympics on
the Stanley
on
Sports
Center? The Stanley Pup.
Elvers.
It's the Stanley Pup.
Mers.
The Stanley Pup. Okay.
The Stanley Pup. I don't know, man.
Sat is completely enamored with the Stanley Pup, and now I'm doing a solo show today. Thanks,
guys. You got it. John Snarlson? Are you kidding me?
He's representing the Washington Capitals. I don't know if you knew this.
Doggy Hamilton. Representing the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, if you want to guess who he's representing.
Taylor Howell.
Taylor Howell.
They got the two Hurricanes.
Yes.
Doggy
Hamilton was representing New Jersey.
Jean-Gabriel Pajot.
Paw? Get it? Yeah. Get it? Paw? Can somebody post Sat's face of this, please?
He's Nika Zibonajad.
There's just like love in his eyes as he's
not looked
dogs.
Away once.
This is really good. Yeah, you
Travis
got
Kanikny. That one didn't really hit. No.
Canine. Look how adorable these
Sidney Posby. He's a good doggo. Who represented the Canucks in this Stanley Pup? Hmm? I don't even remember. I never watched this. This is a rerun. I know that.
Jake DeBruff.
Yeah. DeBruff?
How do you get to be a play-by-play guy on the Stanley Pup? That's what you'd be like Jason Bateman in Dodgeball, you know?
Oh, man.
The Stanley Pup. All right. Well, it's on Sportsnet. So if you want to have us on and the Stanley Pup also, you can. Sportsnet Plus. Subscribe. There's a lot to get into. Abbotsford Canucks and Texas Stars tonight. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final as well.
This guy's like chewing out the dogs.
Can we get to the open, please?
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Every time they show the play-by-play, guys, it seems like a spoof. It literally does.
This is too good. There's a pig, too. Lepwerk. All right, anyways.
Can we change the channel? I don't even know where...
Yeah, honestly, if you don't change the channel, you're not going to have my attention. You might. Josh is literally walking to change the channel.
This is so ridiculous. What happened to playing the Stanley Cup in 30?
All right. They have to change.
All right. Enough of that. All right. Can we not go back to the Stanley Pup, Josh? Change the channel, please.
All right, okay, no Stanley Pup. I got it. All right, fine.
All right. Can we get the show on track now? Do we need to like restart
We're good. I'm not going to be distracted anymore.
The Open on Canuck Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest with the Vancouver Canucks. Adam Foote spoke exclusively to Sportsnet 650 today.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Sat's like thinking of a dog name for Adam Foote or something, like Adam Pot? Adam Paw?
No. I don't have anything right now with him. But Foote was good. I mean... What stood out to you the most? I mean, I think the thing everybody's talking about was the golf foursome, right?
Yes. So everybody a little bit surprised, a bit of a Spockian eyebrow raised at Adam Foote mentioning that Elias Pettersson flew back over the pond from Sweden and joined Adam Foote, Thatcher Demko, and Quinn Hughes. We don't know where. Was it in Vancouver? Was it in Michigan? Was it in somewhere in California? But he didn't disclose those details. But Pettersson flew back over the pond to join those three for a table setter for the season with Adam Foote for his leadership group, and a lot on Elias Pettersson, a lot on having a couple dinners and just setting the stage for, I guess, some of his expectations and how they plan to build the leadership group out. Here's a clip from Adam Foote on Halford and Brough this morning.
Well, I just think, you know, we're going to turn the page on what happened the last few years with, you know, the relationship he had. I'm not going to talk about it with Miller and things like that. I think it just, you know, a lot happened at once, it seemed last year after such a great previous year that, you know, I think a fresh start, you know, again, getting to know him. Like, I was the assistant coach and I was dealing more with D, but I did have a pretty good relationship with PD. But, you know, he just, I think he needs to feel that support, but also, you know, I don't want him to be, I wouldn't say he was confused or anything like that. That's the wrong word or term, but just keep, I want to keep it simple with him and just have a very good communicate what he needs to bring, and help him figure that out, figure out how to be a true pro day in and day out. And, you know, he jumped in the league with that success quick. And, you know, we've all been there. You call it a sophomore jinx or things like that. It's because you get there, and sometimes I'm not saying he thought it was easy after, but it's easily, you can get caught in that trap as a professional athlete. And, you know, I'm just there to support him, communicate with him. He'll know the non-negotiables. We'll discuss that in our leadership group. We really want to attack a leadership group, and there's going to be some non-negotiables, but these guys are going to make up their own contract in this leadership group as far as the standards and how we're going to carry ourselves as pros. And you know, it starts now. The process of winning starts now every day. And that's something we're going to target on. You know, we got together with Huggy, Demmer, and Petey. That's one of the first things I wanted to hit on was, you know, who's going to be in this leadership group and how we're going to hold each other accountable. You know, I want to get it to a point where I can just look at one of them and they'll know what I mean by that, and they'll fix what needs to be fixed. And I think, you know, a dressing room's got to take care of itself, and they got to get, for me, I'd like to see them connect better and be a group that supports each other no matter what and holds each other accountable from day one. You know, you can't turn on the switch when playoffs start, or you're in a big game, or the heat gets turned up, or, you know, I always say the waves, you know, you play in an NHL game, one of the waves 3-4 feet high, depends where you play, and you get in the playoffs, everyone thinks they're 12 feet, you get a championship game, everyone thinks they're 15, they're really not, and that's part of the process I'm talking about. If we understand that as a group, and we do the work together the right way, day in and day out, and hold each other accountable, when those big games come, you know, we can put the noise away, and we'll know how to do it, support each other, and then just stay calm in those moments and play as a team. So that was pretty much what we were hitting on first when we met, something I felt we needed to get working on right away.
There is Adam Foote on Halford and Brough from this morning. You can find the full interview on their podcast feed via your favorite podcatcher. And there is so much in there on supporting Elias Pettersson. And really on the leadership group, because, and I know people will roll their eyes and like all this leadership stuff, but you kind of have to reset the culture here with the Vancouver Canucks if you're Adam Foote. And that's the first step, is resetting your leadership group beyond JT Miller and likely Brock Besser. And those are the three guys that you need leading this team.
Well, they're also the only three players they have when they're at their best, they can be elite talents.
Yeah. And, among the best in the league.
Yeah, and now it seems like a far cry from Pettersson. Even Demko, you know, he was a Vezina finalist the previous year.
Runner-up.
Towards the end of the year, showed a lot of promise, but, you know, hasn't quite shown that form. But Hughes, we obviously know what he can do. The other two, they need both those guys. And, you know, we talked a bit about Demko yesterday, that the team's preference is still to find a way to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where that goes when they do start really negotiating down a stretch here. But the next season is going to hinge on these three guys. It really is. Like, if these three guys are healthy, they need them all to be at their best. And that's the best path forward for this team.
Yes, the Canucks are not as deep as some of the true contenders in the National Hockey League, especially in their forward group. But if you have an elite center, which Elias Pettersson in the past has shown to be, you have one of the best defensemen in the league, and you have one of the best goaltenders in the league, you've got a chance to make some noise, probably be in the playoffs. Beyond that, you're going to need some other contributions, obviously. But if you've got three elite players, one at each of the most impactful positions in the league, that's gonna take you a long way.
Yeah, if you get them to be at their best. So you know, when it comes to Foot's approach, I think the Pettersson one is the one we always focus in on because he is the single most important player outside of Quinn Hughes in terms of determining a proper path forward for this team, right?
Well, the difference between Pettersson and Demko, like Demko, the confidence has dipped in Demko because of his lack of availability, not because a lack of talent.
Yeah.
Or that his performance dropped so significantly, because we still saw flashes of how good he could be even this year in the limited amount of time that he played.
Yes. I do think, though, that there is a level of maturity that a lot of these young guys have needed. Quinn has been mature beyond his years. That's why he is the captain. I do think there's a level of leadership and maturity that Demko can attain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that he can grow into a bit more. And of course, for the Pettersson one is the one that's more immediate because his game has fallen off so far, and we need him to get back to that level. But I think Demko also requires to step forward now as a leader, yeah, more, especially considering how much he means to the organization because of the type of talent he has.
And Elias Pettersson, I mean, he has to be more of a leader. We've said it before on this show. It's pretty obvious. You know, he makes $11.6 million, even more than that if you look at his salary each year pretty much right now. But it's important that he is not only a leader from what he does on the ice, but he has to do that off the ice. Now, a lot of it, he doesn't have to be rah-rah and all that. Like, he doesn't have to be the type of leader that we thought JT Miller was or anything like that. It's more about setting the standard. And, you know, last year you show up to training camp in, for whatever reason, less than good shape for what is expected of you. And that just can't happen again. If you're not going to be a loud leader or anything like that, an emotional leader, because that's just not in your nature, you still have to set the standard as a player and as one of the top guys on the team.
Well, and the thing about Pettersson when it comes to setting a standard and working hard is he has worked hard in the past.
Yes.
Like, it's not like a player that, like, he was known for his hard work and his meticulous work in the offseason.
He didn't fluke his way into a 100-point season.
Yeah, but like,
or being a top five pick in the draft.
It was very meticulous the way he worked on his game in the offseason, especially how he changed his shot, got better at things, especially the first few years of his career. And we know the injury part is something that, you know, for Pettersson, it didn't feel like it was, you know, that felt like for him got in the way of it. But leadership for him isn't, you're right, not talking. It's about show up to training camp and be like the way you were in training camp a few years ago where he had a point to prove. I remember watching him in training camp be like, oh, here's a guy who wants to show that he's the alpha on the team. Like, he behaved that way.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that edge was gone. Like, it disappeared. And maybe it's the confidence side of it, whatever it is. But a lot of it, I think, comes to that preparation. If you feel prepared, if you take care of the things you need to take care of, and you show up to training camp, just go be that dog again. Because he can play like that. He's shown he can be that, right? And the reason there's so much frustration is, like, it's been completely gone in his game. Even though he's physical from time to time, there's no defiance in his game.
Yes.
Like, remember the time where he took a bad penalty against Columbus, mm-hmm, and he was in the penalty box, and he came flying out because he was so mad, and he got a breakaway and scored, and he had all the passion and intensity in the rest of that game, and, you know, was running guys through the wall even. And, like, we've seen that side of him in the past.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that come back?
Where's that fire?
Yeah, and can you just showcase that? I think if he does those sort of things, he doesn't need to speak.
Yeah.
But just, like, be a guy who, you know, coaches talk about, when you execute a drill, execute it perfectly, that you can be the first guy out there. Be the guy who sets a standard. And that comes from effort. It comes from preparation. And if he can do those things and rekindle that, you know, fire, so to speak, then he can be that impactful player for this team again.
You know, you don't want to talk to the media or get asked questions about, like, where's your game at right now, or, well, why aren't you having success? Well, play better.
Yeah.
You know, like, those are the kinds of things that can be simple if you get back to your game. And I imagine, now, Foot didn't say this explicitly, but, you know, it's like, okay, Miller's gone. Besser's probably gone. Here's Hughes, Pettersson, Demko golfing out there with Adam Foote. And I guess part of the message is, okay, guys, this is your team now.
100%
is. I mean, it already was Quinn's team, but, like,
yeah,
you're our three guys. This is your team now.
Yeah, and if Pettersson, you know, let's say that he felt that JT was in his way,
mm-hmm,
JT is gone now.
Yeah.
There is no reason for him not to be who he wants to be.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and if he can't be that person, that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that excuse is gone, but that's what they need. They need these guys to truly embrace, like, okay, take ownership.
Yeah.
And if they take ownership, things can really move in a positive direction.
Some of the texts that came in during the Stanley Pup situation.
They're really good.
Hard to keep a straight face doing the show right now. Tyler and Langley, I thought Jake DeBruff was very funny.
It was so funny that I forgot his actual name was for a second.
Alan and Abby, Nils Doglander. Chris and Duncan, Dan Puccio. I don't know how I feel about that one.
Daryl and Kukutlum, Connor Howland.
Jake DeBruff was the Canucks dog. Yeah. In the Stanley Pup event.
That's so good. Yeah. And Tatiana says she's never heard me be, has never heard that much joy in my voice before.
Sat, you were talking with a smile on your face. That's usually what happens when Sat sees a good old doggo. He loves it. Dan Riccio, Sat T.R. Shaw. All right, let's get into the playoff central roundup. Game two, Oilers versus Panthers tonight. Oilers have a 1-0 series lead. And I know, like, I know other shows across town have kind of hit on this. But seeing Vasily Podkolzin have success for the Oilers in the role that he is playing, nice to see. Mm-hmm. Glad for Pods that he's having success with the Oilers. But let's not extrapolate that to something that it isn't, you know, that he is this demonic power forward that you hoped you were drafting when you got him at 10th overall. No, he's having success playing a role for the Edmonton Oilers, and it was never really going to work in Vancouver, given, well, I mean, he pretty much asked for a change of scenery. And two, it's so hard when you're a player that's drafted 10th overall, especially in a Canadian market. Like, you're expected to be a top six guy. And when everybody starts to realize you're not that, it's really hard to keep living in that world where there is so much expectation of you and you just can't live up to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when talking to a couple of guys who have been players who were drafted relatively high and had to go somewhere else, the thing that they often talk about is that you feel like you've disappointed the organization, like you feel like you've let them down somewhat, or maybe you feel like they let you down because you feel like you can't be the player you had hoped to be, and it's really hard to overcome that. So you have to sometimes go somewhere else for you to feel like, okay, I can forget about all that and just focus on how do I become an everyday NHL player and how do I carve a career out for myself. And we've seen this a lot with a lot of players that have been relatively talented. One of the best examples was Manny Malhotra, high draft pick by New York Rangers, didn't live up to it. He had to go somewhere else to really develop into being that bottom six, really good two-way centerman that ended up being one of the better role players in the National Hockey League. But it couldn't happen in New York because he was never going to live up to being that high draft pick with the hopes of being a top-line center or second-line center. And he had to go somewhere else, and then he finally kind of figured that out. And that's kind of the curse of being a high draft pick sometimes, that you have to go somewhere else to figure it out. So I think part of it is that. Have the Canucks lost something? I like Podkolzin a lot. I've said this over the years. I like Podkolzin's frame. I like a lot of things that he can bring, and I see some upside there too. But ultimately, he's a bottom six player.
Yeah.
And he's not the player that I think we should be losing sleep over. You can certainly talk about keeping him and all that, but if we're talking about players that got away, there's like 20 names we put in front of Vasily Podkolzin.
Or just
like,
well, why didn't you draft Matt Boldy or Cole Caulfield instead of Vasily Podkolzin? All right, continuing in the playoff central roundup, the Dallas Stars firing Pete DeBoer today. He was, I guess, a little too honest in his postseason assessment of his team. And the players didn't like that so much, so it was at least a part of the reason, according to Jim Nill, as to why Pete DeBoer is no longer the coach of the Dallas Stars. So also kind of interesting that they fired him as soon as all of the other teams had filled up their head coaching positions as well. So Pete's going to have an extended time off here. And the Abbotsford Canucks going up against the Texas Stars in a elimination game scenario. They're up 3-1 in the series. Can send the Stars packing tonight and return to Abbotsford if necessary. Games 6 and 7 will be Sunday, Monday at the Abbotsford Center. But Canucks Canucks with a chance to close it out tonight. You will hear that game on Sportsnet 650 at 5 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to do things a little bit differently here on this Friday. Yannick Hansen is going to join us after 4:30.
4:30, Yannick Hansen.
4:30 for Yannick.
Which is kind of normal. Like, usually we have Yannick on at 4:30 when we do our show 4 to 6 on a Friday.
Yes.
So it doesn't really change.
So Yannick is going to have... It's just usually it's in the second segment on a Friday show. But we're going to go mailbag next. Mm-hmm. Yannick's going to join us after 4:30. And also one of the newest members of PWHL Vancouver, Jen Gardner, is going to join us after 4 o'clock. Hometown girl playing for her hometown team. And that's coming up just after 4 o'clock. Guests on Sports at 6:50. Call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. You are listening to Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.